What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And for those of you watching on BAM Music TV, this gorgeous creature sitting to my side is the lovely Lady Claire, who likes to share hour number three of Fridays with us with her unique perspective on the world. I'm admiring the jewelry that you're wearing.
Yes.
And, it's even got a place for a stone in there. That's amazing. All right. So what's the first thing you want to talk about today?
I am very, very concerned about information coming forward regarding that Niger attack on Americans. U.S. soldiers were left behind in the evacuation, and this is just starting to come forward. Now, Mattis maintains that this never happened, but as details continue to emerge, it appears increasingly certain that Mattis just didn't tell the world the truth, with officials now saying that when French helicopters evacuated the U.S. forces, they had lost contact with four U.S. troops and only evacuated seven out of 11 in the unit. Hours later, when they managed to return to recover the bodies of the three soldiers initially reported killed, the fourth soldier wasn't found for another 2 days. That the troops left without contact with the four makes it uncertain if some might have been alive at the time and died abandoned on the field. Mike, if in fact this happened, it never, ever should have happened. Ever. I mean, we have a tradition in the military that we never leave men behind.
Well, that's often not practical, but yeah. In this case, they were simply unprepared for what was going on. They were in love with the myth of their own invincibility. And they got caught off guard, and they got cut off from their support.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, while we like to say we never leave any of our soldiers behind, it does unfortunately happen. It obviously did in this particular circumstance.
Yeah. And I feel so terrible for the widows and families of the people who got killed.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about Africa and the U.S. presence there a little bit later. But right now, I'd like to bop on over to the U.K.
Bop away.
Michael Fallon made the observation that criticizing Saudi Arabia is not helpful for UK arms sales to Saudi Arabia. And he urged MPs to stop criticizing Saudi Arabia in the interests of securing a fighter jet deal, provoking a lot of blowback from human rights and arms trade campaigners. And apparently more than 100 people were arrested over London Arms Fair protests. The defense secretary was giving evidence to the Commons Defense Committee when he was pressed about why a deal to sell Typhoon jets to Saudi Arabia had not yet been signed. Fallon said that he had been working very hard on the deal and had traveled to Jeddah in September to discuss it with his Saudi counterpart. And although Qatar had agreed 2 days earlier to buy 24 jets from the UK, Fallon had to settle for signing a largely meaningless joint defense agreement with the Saudis. Now, I have a question for the British press, which is known generally to have maybe a few more quote-unquote male attributes than their American counterparts. And I want one of those people to ask Michael Fallon how it feels to be colluding with Saudi Arabia in war crimes.
It feels profitable.
Yeah, you know. Because the sales of these fighters are certainly a glaring, egregious example of this. Every day, the Saudis are bombarding Yemeni citizens, civilians, innocent children, women, infants, the medically infirm, elderly, are being assassinated from the skies. And this is like a daily occurrence. With U.S. military assistance, the Saudi military has blockaded all Yemeni ports, meaning that food cannot get in and children are dying en masse from complications of malnutrition. And now, Yemen has been struck by an horrific epidemic of cholera, possibly weaponized, which has been one of the worst documented epidemics in recent history. And yeah, I'm sure the financial windfall for the British defense industry has been just massive. But at what cost to the soul of Great Britain? You know, this is the country, Mike, that gave the world the Magna Carta. So, Michael Fallon, I will ask, if no one else will, how does it feel to be in collusion with Saudi Arabia in war crimes in Yemen and financially hitched at the hip with the butcher of Yemen, Prince Salman? I'm just saying.
Well, obviously he's comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know, he looks at his stock portfolio statement, his brokerage statement, and says, yeah, I'm doing great.
Yeah. Well, the people of Yemen are doing very lousily.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just British arms sales to Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Back before the fall of the Shah, the U.S. was selling F-14s to I'm sorry, not the fall of the shop, but the U.S. has sold F-14s to Saudi Arabia.
Right, right.
And it still forms the mainstay of their air assets. So, yeah, U.S. warplanes are being used to commit these war crimes in Yemen.
And I frankly do not feel very comfortable being a citizen of a government colluding in war crimes. That does not make me feel morally right or morally comfortable one little bit.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, me neither. Then I have to turn something a little bit lighter. From the Department of the U.S., you can't really make this stuff up. Thousands to scream helplessly at the sky to mark the anniversary of the Trump presidency. Thousands of Americans, angered and disappointed by President Trump's ascension to the White House, plan to vent their frustration by screaming helplessly at the sky on the anniversary of the 2016 presidential election. And apparently more than 2,200 people have already indicated their interest in attending the New York City rally, according to the Scream Helplessly at the Sky on the Anniversary of the Election Facebook page. Coordinator Nathan Wall said the group's schedule would also include a moment of silence before a mournful rendition of Kumbaya on an auto harp, because we're all just a bunch of liberal stereotypes. Now, Mike, I'm sorry, but is this the darn best these people can do in response to a legitimately elected president because their candidate didn't win?
Well, I hope that's all that they do, but don't forget, this is only a few days after
Antifa is
saying we're going to start a civil war and we're going to get Trump and Pence out of the White House, and they're not saying who they intend to replace him with. But we know Hillary's, you know, despite her claim she's never going to run for the White House again, it sure looks like she's already campaigning, doesn't
she's jockeying for position for something. I just don't know what that something is. And if this is in fact the case, this country is in horrible trouble, big time, because there are two things which self-actualized successful people never do. They do not blame, and they do not play the victim card. They figure out what the heck went wrong and move to correct it so that the next time they make an effort to do something, that effort goes off successfully.
Well, unfortunately, Hillary and most of the liberals in general are incapable of looking at themselves objectively. Mm-hmm. They have this fantasy world that they've constructed. Mm-hmm. And they think everybody should just sort of want to live in that world that they've come up with, and most of us don't.
Nope.
And I mean, Hillary's book is an embarrassment. I'm amazed that people are buying it, because it's just, you know, a continuation of the screed that began on the morning after the election, where it's everybody's fault but mine. It's Russia's fault.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the FBI's fault. It was James Comey's fault.
And
the fact of the matter is, we just didn't like Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't trust her in the Oval Office because of Chinagate, Bloodgate, Travelgate, murder of Vince Foster, murder of all those people, the Bimbo Eruption Squad, Whitewater, Castle Grande, Flowerwood, and on and on. That's why she lost the election. That's why she couldn't steal the election.
Right. And what the Democrats did, and they're going to have to pull back and ultimately own it if they are ever going to have a chance for the White House again. What they did was to steal the primaries from Bernie Sanders, who could have actually energized the base and won, and devised ways to massively rig the votes in favor of the unchosen one. Then they attempted to force Debbie Wasserman Schultz's candidate of choice, Hillary Clinton, down the throats of the American people, who rejected her outright. And the reasons are very clear. She was utterly pathologically incapable of relating to the middle class base and had more baggage than does Kim Kardashian on a photo shoot. Unhappy that it was the Electoral College which ultimately worked in favor of electing President Trump, start canvassing to create a federal law which abolishes the institution. But Mike, I've got to tell you, the Scream Helplessly at the Sky movement only reinforces the aura of victimhood and blame these people exude and does absolutely nothing positive or substantial to cure the problem, which would have been to have a legitimate candidate who does relate to middle class voters and can energize them.
Yeah,
so,
but
hey,
you know, they can't find any of those among the narcocracy. And the goal here is beginning to emerge. The reason they were shoving Hillary down our throats was they had all been engaging in this massive corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And they understood that unless they got Hillary into the Oval Office, they would be dealing with investigations, mm-hmm. indictments, mm-hmm. charges,
yes.
possible jail time, which
yes.
is now starting to happen.
Oh, yes.
And as far as the screaming at the sky moment here, I think it would be wonderful if, you know, they say they're going to have 2,000 people show up and mm-hmm. scream at the sky. I think it would be funny to have like 5,000 show up surrounding them and just pointing and laughing while they're doing it.
What are those people? They're screaming in the sky. Oh, my God, it's so embarrassing.
So I would like to talk to Democrats. And, hey, Tom Perez, I'm going to call you out specifically. I have just the candidate for you for 2020. And if you collectively and the Democrats around you have half a brain, you should start courting her now. Her name is representative for the state of Hawaii, Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi is a quadruple threat. She is a veteran, woman, a minority of Samoan European ancestry, and a powerful voice for peace, moderation, and moral negotiations. But, of course, being just as owned as are your Republican colleagues by the merchants of death and the wonderful contributions they make to your individual candidates and parties, you just don't have the male attributes to do this. Do you, Tom?
No, from now on, until we bring down that narcocracy, mm-hmm. every single candidate we are presented will be part of that corrupt structure. They'll
yeah.
never allow anybody, especially after the disaster of last year.
Yep.
I mean, look how hard they worked to, first of all, deny Donald Trump the nomination and then deny him the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
They're never going to let it get that mm-hmm. close again.
Yep.
Anybody who is not part of the narcocracy, anybody who's not fully on board with this idea of U.S. government sanctioned drug sales to your children and the mm-hmm. profiting thereby
yep.
is not going to be allowed to even be on the ballot.
Yeah. I'd like to go over to economy right now, and this comes to us from Zero Hedge, which, if you haven't checked it out, is a very sober and intelligent blog. I recommend it highly. Apparently, CVS is in talks to buy Aetna in what could be the year's largest deal. And in a stunning scoop published minutes before the close, Wall Street Journal reported that CVS Health is in talks to buy Aetna, a defensive acquisition that may help the company fend off Amazon should the e-commerce follow through on flirtations with the pharmacy business. And apparently shortly before this was published, CVS and other pharmacy stocks tumbled to their lows of the day on reports that Amazon has been quietly obtaining wholesale pharmacy licenses.
Yeah, I've been hearing that.
Now, the big question I have to ask, in terms of allowing this acquisition to take place, is what, Mike, do you think are going to be the effects on patient care?
Well, unfortunately, we've already seen in the case of some of these large monolithic pharmacies,
mm-hmm.
They're not very careful where they're getting their drugs, and there's been a big problem
yeah.
With counterfeit drugs
mm-hmm.
making their way onto the pharmacies of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And it is a problem where you'll get medications that don't actually have as much of the real medication as they're supposed to. There have been cases of these pills being made with fillers that are really not safe to use, binders, mm-hmm. The chemicals that make them into a pill.
Yep.
And so quality control and quality of service is definitely going down. One of the complaints I have against our local CVS is that they don't carry the wide selection of products that they used to when it was still back in its previous owners. Now it's just a lot of just a very few things. It's the same trend we're seeing in the supermarkets. And especially when you're dealing with your health issue and you know the things that are going to work and you want to get them, you know, it's very frustrating when all of a sudden these big corporations come on in and all of a sudden need – I'm getting complaints from the listeners.
Oh, dear. Sorry.
Okay, there we are. All of a sudden, yeah, the quality of service, the selection goes down, and it's all about more profit. And unfortunately, by allowing monopolies to take root, quality of service, quality of product is going to go down. Cost to the consumer is going to go up. That's why there used to be laws in this country to guarantee there would be competition, to guarantee the best service and the best product to the customer at the lowest price. Mm-hmm. But as we descend into fascism, competition is now verboten across the Reich. And that's kind of where we are. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking with concern at how Amazon is really just buying up all kinds of things. And yes, I'd heard from another source that they're buying up pharmacy licenses. They want to have the Amazon pharmacies. They want to be the new superstore.
Yeah. I'd like to look at a situation planned for next month. A U.S. official has said that three Navy carriers plan to exercise in Asia-Pacific at about the same time that President Trump is traveling to Beijing, including visits to South Korea and China. During a Pentagon briefing, Lieutenant General Kenneth McKenzie, director of the Joint Staff, raised the prospect of the three carriers operating together at some point, but he provided no details. A U.S. official confirmed the plans for an exercise, but wasn't able to discuss the matter publicly, so spoke on conditions of anonymity. Mike, what are they thinking here? What's going on?
Well, this stands in stark contrast to Mattis out there saying we're seeking a peaceful solution in North Korea. It certainly doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
I can understand just from a flat-out training perspective, especially in light of the poor performance shown by the command crews of the Fitzgerald and the John S. McCain, mm-hmm. that maybe they do want to start exercising multi-carrier operations. The normal mode for the carrier group so far, as we fight little tiny helpless nations unable to defend themselves, is the carrier operates as its own autonomous platform with its fleet auxiliaries, and it's mm-hmm. the center of a battle group.
Right.
The idea of having battle groups comprised of two or more carriers working together, that's something that hasn't really been done since World War II. Mm. And it may be that they're working to sort of figure out how they would coordinate between these three overlapping aircraft control zones mm-hmm. and, you know, coordinating between the launching and recovery of aircraft. It certainly would make that overhead space very, very complex and difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
But the reason for exercising this kind of an approach is somebody's getting ready to go up against a major foe where they feel that this kind of force concentration is necessary.
Now, my bet, Mike, is that while President Trump is in Beijing for meetings with Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un is going to cool his jets, not test any missiles, and absolutely do nothing in response to the provocative military exercises surrounding the Korean Peninsula. What worries me, though, is if there is no response to the occupied, unhinged, surveilled state of America's move, such a response may well be crafted for Kim Jong-un by way of a false flag. I mean, false flags are a routine tool of statescraft by this country. And the timing of the coming together of these carrier groups needs to have a substantive reason for doing it. I mean, keeping operational preparedness at peak level takes a lot of time, discipline, and money, right?
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And having all three aircraft carrier together at that exercise provides an optimum time for a coordinated attack into North Korea and an attempted decapitation strike. But again, that's why we were talking about the revelation or the confirmation in the released JFK documents that, yes, the U.S. government will stage atrocities to justify wars.
Yep.
And we have to be ready for the reality that they may do one to get us into North Korea or Iran.
At a time when President Trump is the guest of China?
Yeah.
That, forgive me, but geopolitically, that sounds more than a little dicey.
It is very, very dicey.
Yeah.
But again, up in Beijing, it's not like North Korea could realistically reach him there. And
no.
Okay, so we're going to take a break for commercials here. Mm-hmm. And when we come on back, we're going to be talking more about Trump and whatever else he's doing this week. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Claire, take it away.
Yeah, read something today that was extremely disturbing. President Trump's new presidential memo will normalize drones in America's life. And he recently made some decisions on drone aircraft, which foreshadows the increase of technology in civilian, police, and military strategy. On Wednesday, President Trump signed a presidential memorandum creating a new trial program for the commercial use of unmanned aerial aircraft or drones. The memo, titled Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration Pilot Program, allows certain communities to be exempt from current safety rules as they test drone operations. States, communities, and tribes selected to participate would devise their own trial programs in partnership with government and industry drone users. The administration anticipates approving at least 5 applications, but there is no limit on the number of communities that can join. And I have an observation to that. For the people who believe, I think wrongly, that drone strikes are only going to happen against the bad guys in other countries, you'd better rethink that, because police departments around the countries are already starting to stock up on these weapons for their arsenals. Connecticut set to become the first state to allow deadly police drones. And a lawmaker said weaponized drones now legal in the U.S. A lawmaker says crime fighting will be a video game. Cops may quell the next Baltimore-like uprising with tear gas grenades. And the problems with using these are both moral and legal, I think. And I'd like your input on this. With the use of these weaponized drones, and they're very complex. First, how much collateral damage, Mike, are these going to create among innocent U.S. civilians? If incidents like those in Afghanistan, Yemen, Iraq, Somalia, and Libya are any indication, the amounts of collateral damage in the use of these weaponized drones can be very huge.
Well, we're getting into an apples and oranges kind of situation because the drones that you're talking about in the war zone are like the Reapers and the Predators. Yeah. Those carry tremendously powerful explosives and munitions. Mm-hmm. What they're talking about here in the U.S., at least at this point, are drones that are carrying maybe a live shotgun shell, what's called a beanbag shell, or there's actually a fireable taser, that fits in a 12-gauge cartridge, and when you fire it, it charges, and when it hits its target, it knocks it down. Certainly tear gas, various other area denial dispersants can be used, but the possibility for collateral damage, it's real. It's probably not as great, but it's definitely going to be real. The real issue, I think, for a lot of people is this idea of the fact that the safety regulations are being set aside, meaning that in testing out these drone applications, we can expect these drones to be falling out of the sky, which they do, damaging property, injuring people, possibly causing traffic accidents. We know that small birds that get caught up in these drones get chopped to little tiny bits, which also destroys the drone at the same time. And there is that privacy issue, especially in the hands of law enforcement, because these drones carry very sophisticated cameras. Even the consumer drones now have very excellent high-definition cameras that are very low-light sensitive, and it opens up the possibility of just peeking through the windows. And I don't know if you remember the movie Blue Thunder, which was Roy Scheider, about this experimental police helicopter. Well, I think a lot of the issues that were raised in that movie still apply, the only difference being that the drones don't have a human pilot that has a sense of moral conscience about what's going on.
Well, what bothers me, I think, is secondly, it moves the drone operator from a position of helping cops on the ground apprehend a suspicious baddie to occasionally that of judge, jury, and executioner, which is the absolute polar opposite of due process.
I would agree with you on that one. Of course, we have too many police acting like judge, jury, and executioner on the ground right now. It's a wildly out-of-control problem. And I think the drones are only going to make it worse. And I think that you might actually see there to be an underground pushback against the drones, either by very crude weapons to take them down, or maybe bring back the art of falconeering.
Ah, yes.
You know, you, Peregrine, kill drone. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. Okay. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse every day.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we were just watching on Fox News during the break here. They're finally starting to address an issue that we've been talking about for many years, and that is the fact that the Social Security Trust Fund is in trouble. Expenditures for the rising number of baby boomer retirements have now crossed $1 trillion. They're looking at a forecast of over $30 trillion in liabilities they have coming up. And they're now predicting that Social Security is probably going to be insolvent by 2034. What they're not telling you is how this all came about.
Oh, I remember.
And this, again, goes back to the presidency of Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big, big stink because back before Clinton became president, the administrators of Social Security and the guardians of the budget understood there was a demographic problem coming on up with the retirement of the baby boomers, that post-war surge in population. I'm one of them, so is she. And they were all going to be retiring at the same time, and it was going to put a huge strain on the Social Security fund. So they approved an increase in Social Security contributions, taxes, what have you, from a payroll deduction. And they started to build up a huge cash surplus to absorb that surge in retirements that were expected from the baby boomers. So far, so good. Then Bill Clinton gets into the office, and he looks at all that money sitting over there in the Social Security Trust Fund, and he borrows it, takes it, spends it as general revenues, replaces it with a special issue Treasury bond, which cannot be redeemed. And that's where he got his magic federal budget surplus that the Democrats like to crow about. Oh, he had this wonderful federal budget surplus. You know, I did a good thing. I took a federal deficit. I turned it into a positive. It was the economy, stupid. And what he did was he literally was embezzling the American worker, because that money in the Social Security Trust Fund does not belong to the government. It belongs to you, the American worker. And in point of fact, you are forced to entrust that money to the government for wise management, and clearly the government has let you down on that one. In a way, the U.S. government is already in a state of economic default, but they strategically defaulted against the American worker, knowing that we can't affect the government's credit rating, we can't repossess, we can't do anything like that. And now the corporate media is finally saying, yeah, there's a problem. Social Security is going to be gone by 2034. Well, that's okay. We'll just start pouring into the private retirement accounts and the 401ks. Congress just put a limit on those. Congress has now put a limit on how much you can contribute to a 401k. They want all the money, even the retirement money. George Carlin predicted it in one of his last shows. He said, they want it all. Now they want your retirement money back.
That reminds me, George Carlin was not only a very funny man, he was a prophet on a lot of issues.
Yes.
And it's no wonder that the establishment pushed so hard back against him for what he had to say and what his fans loved hearing him say, because they knew that the guy was telling the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He had a way of using humor to get his point across. And, you know, as he got on later in life and he wasn't really interested or worried about the money, he would use his platform to get on out there and try and sound the warning about what was going on with this country, the war agenda, the environmentalists, ultimately, the crimes and predations of the money junkies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to take a little leap back over to Africa right now. In the blog antiwar.com, again, something I suggest you might want to take a look at. Very good reporting there. It's not just Niger. The U.S. military activity is a recruiting tool for terrorist groups across West Africa. And if you take a look at the numbers, Mike, they are absolutely staggering. In truth, U.S. forces are already deployed all across Africa by the thousands. And that's thousands, okay? 6,000 troops are on the continent, conducting 3,500 exercises, programs, and engagements every year. That's almost 10 missions a day from Cameroon to Somalia, Djibouti to Libya. More of the 800 of these forces, Pentagon spokesman Major Audricia Harris told The Intercept, are deployed to Niger. This is up from approximately 100 troops sent in 2013 to carry out drone reconnaissance missions, making the hardscrabble country, wedged between seven nations, including Mali, Libya, Nigeria, and Chad, the largest concentration of U.S. military forces in West Africa.
Well, Niger is now admitted to be the hub of U.S. military operations in West Africa. We don't know where the other hubs are.
Yeah.
But Ron Paul is out there saying basically the U.S. is militarily occupying 53 out of 54 African nations.
Yeah. And there was an analyst who made the observation, the rapid, largely unrecognized increase in U.S. troops in Niger is part of the large expansion of the U.S. military footprint in Africa, says William Hartog. He is the director of Arms and Security Project at the Center for International Policy. This expansion is long overdue for congressional scrutiny and public discussion. U.S. efforts primarily focused on training allies and proxies are flawed, often ineffective, and can have destabilizing effects on countries where the military operations are meant to strengthen them, according to experts. Cast as benign training operations, they can lead to unforeseen consequences and dangerous blowback. While the Pentagon likes to downplay the military aspects of these missions, in a number of instances, they have evolved into acts of war that risk getting the U.S. involved in broader conflicts, even as they have little impact on the spread of terrorism. And while 800-plus troops are in Niger, many more soldiers rotated through the country as U.S. forces have been, according to Dunford, carrying out intermittent missions for 20 years. Who knew? 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Hello. You know, and I was a little shocked yesterday by President Trump's admission. He had no idea this was going on. Not a one, which means that all of his, you know, and in business you need to delegate. You need to bring the appropriate task to the appropriate person. But where that can really mess you up geopolitically is if you have people acting autonomously, you can literally have one of those generals plunge us into war before President Trump has the chance to stop
That's
it.
That's absolutely the danger here.
That
first
scares
of, first
me.
Of all,
yeah.
Under the Constitution, only Congress can declare a war.
Yeah.
Under the War Powers Act, the president can declare a war. But for Donald Trump to simply arbitrarily say, I'm going to let the Pentagon generals run this, that is absolutely not the way it's supposed to work.
No.
We're supposed to have a civilian leadership, civilian oversight of the military, not a military junta running the wars for us with Congress and the president just out there for set decoration.
Yeah,
because that's what it looks like they are right now in terms mm-hmm. of the war agenda. Congress was completely unaware of what was going on in Africa.
Yeah.
Trump was caught completely unaware. He's trying to basically get out of it, saying, well, I rely on the generals to figure out what's best. But he's not allowed to do that. Trump
no.
is not allowed to delegate the creation of wars onto the Pentagon any more than Congress was allowed to dump their war authorization authority onto the president.
Yeah. And in looking at this, and realizing that when we have these drone strikes overseas in places like Africa, what happens to the people left standing is they're angry, and they've got nothing much left to lose other than their lives, which doesn't mean a whole lot right at that point. No wonder these people are getting radicalized. It creates an energy of perpetual war by radicalizing indigenous Africans.
Well, that's what the U.S. Yeah. wants, is to stir perpetual war, so that all of the people who are living over the oil and the gas mm-hmm. and the uranium and kill each other off mm-hmm. and save us the trouble. Nobody gets up in the morning one day and says, you know, I there's nothing on TV. I think I'm going to be a terrorist.
No, that just it doesn't happen that way.
That way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
somebody gets radicalized because they're just going about their business in their village market square, and they're talking to friends, and they're buying and selling and doing whatever, and all of a sudden there's a horrendous blast
mm-hmm.
and people that they've known their entire lives are just lying in bloody shreds all
yeah.
around them, and the shrapnel is stamped made in the USA.
Yeah.
That's why they hate us.
Yeah.
They don't hate us for our freedoms.
I hear you.
They hate us because the U.S. government has a bad habit of going into other countries and mucking about with them.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of mucking about, T-Rex, Rex Tillerson, a.k.a., has come out again and said Assad can have no rule in Syria's future. With the Assad government in Syria cementing increasingly secure in control over much of the country, the U.S. has quieted down for a while on demands that Assad's ouster, instead shifting the blame to Iran and Russia. Now, Secretary
for Assad's survival.
Yes, for Assad's survival. Secretary of State Tillerson, however, now says that with Geneva talks coming up in late November, Assad has to be removed from power, and that the only way to end the Syrian war is for the world to accept a whole and unified Syria with no role for Bashar al-Assad. Now, exactly how the U.S. intends to see this through as the end result is unclear, as while there are some nations that have backed the U.S. calls for regime change, the non-jihadist rebel groups are virtually wiped out at this point, and such groups have no chance of seizing the country by force. And so I want to ask T-Rex just how he intends to accomplish this, and by the way, has Vlad the non-impaler received the memo yet?
No, they're not going to inform Russia. I mean, the only way the U.S. can absolutely guarantee that Assad will not be part of the future Syria is mm-hmm. to assassinate Assad.
How likely do you think that would be, considering that he has...
Leaders get assassinated yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they could do it with a cruise missile strike.
Yeah, okay. And then what is Russia going to do in reprisal?
I don't think Russia would declare war on the U.S. over the assassination of Assad.
What do you think they would do?
I think they would file a formal complaint with the U.N., which is a pointless exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, Russia doesn't really want war. Neither does China. Neither do any of these countries. Yeah. It's the U.S. that is pushing all these wars on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, though, we're going to reach a point where the rest of the world is going to say, okay, appeasement didn't work. We should have learned that the first time around. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to link up and start seriously looking at dealing with this latest empire.
Yeah. And in a related move, we find the following article. Tillerson also says that Iraq must resist Iran influence, stand on its own in the face of Iranian influence, while recognizing that the two states share a long border and legitimate economic interests. And Iran has been very helpful in Iraq getting rid of the jihadists. Tillerson, who held talks with Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi in Baghdad this week, was asked by reporters in Geneva about blunting Iran's influence. What we are saying to the Iraqis is you must develop the capacity to stand on your own. Now, this makes absolutely no sense to me.
No, it doesn't. I mean, Iraq is already telling the U.S. forces they're the ones who need to leave.
Yeah.
Iran was invited in to help deal with this Kurdish Peshmerga.
Yeah.
Okay, so Iran is in Iraq at the invitation of the Iraqi government.
Yeah.
And the U.S. is not.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have with Iraq just about ready to finish off ISIS there and mm-hmm. Syria finishing off ISIS there. It's understandable. They're all saying it's time for the U.S. to take your forces and go home. You are not wanted here. You are not welcome here.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm having to wonder when Muqtada al-Sadr, remember that guy?
I remember him.
Yeah. He was the guy who originally said on the SOFA agreement that the U.S. had to be out of Iraq by the time they said they were going to be out of Iraq or else.
Yes.
I have to wonder what he's doing, what he's planning, what his long-term plans are. I have a feeling he could get that Mahdi army back together just in a heartbeat. He knows
so.
All the senior commanders, and I have to wonder and I have to speculate as to whether this is where things are going in Iraq. Mike, what do you think?
Well, again, the U.S. is losing control and influence over Iraq. In fact, Iraq is not only pivoting closer to Iran, it's pivoting closer to Russia.
Yeah.
This whole Middle Eastern deal, it's turned into a quagmire.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Pakistan said it best. There is no way the U.S. is going to militarily prevail in Afghanistan. It's mm-hmm. time to seek a political solution and an exit strategy.
Right.
The U.S. is basically lost in Syria,
mm-hmm.
despite all this talk about we got to get rid of Assad and everything.
Yep.
The U.S. is losing in Iraq
mm-hmm.
Because Iraq is turning away. All these countries are saying, thank you for all the landmines. It's time for you to get on out.
Yeah.
And everything the U.S. has been doing in that part of the world is driving these countries to pivot away from the West and toward mm-hmm. Russia and China. It is an epic, monumental failure. If we are already in the opening throes of World War III, we are already losing it.
Yeah. And speaking of monumental failure, the House just passed a new missile sanctions against Iran. In a 423-2 vote, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed the Iran Ballistic Missiles and International Sanctions Enforcement Act, which intends to impose sanctions of the Iranian government as well as international entities that are determined by the president to support Iran, whatever the heck that means. The resolution isn't specifically related to Iran's nuclear deal, though Representative Ed Royce, the bill's sponsor, presented it and several other anti-Iranian resolutions making their way through the House as proof Congress is responding to the full range of threats from Iran. Threats? What threats?
Well, I'll tell you the one that really bothers me, a very disingenuous title. They're calling it the Iran Ballistic Missiles and International Sanctions Enforcement Act.
Yeah.
There are no international sanctions on Iran's missile program.
Yeah.
And again, like any other nation, they have a legitimate right to build defensive weapons in advance of a clearly belligerent, aggressive United States.
Yeah.
And what the U.S. is trying to do is bluff all these countries into disarmament on the promise that they won't be invaded, then they invade. And mm-hmm. the U.S. has gone back on that so many times, nobody's going to buy it. They did it with Libya. They said, Libya, if you surrender your nuclear weapons program, we won't invade you. Then they invade it.
Yeah.
Same thing with Syria. Mm-hmm. Surrender your chemical weapons, we won't invade you. Syria surrendered the chemical weapons, they got invaded. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Iraq. Surrender your chemical weapons, we won't invade you.
Mm-hmm.
Iraq surrendered their chemical weapons, they got invaded.
Yeah.
At this point, who in their right mind is going to surrender a potentially defensive weapon system on the assurance that the United States is not going to invade? I think the leaders of Iraq and Iran were getting together and saying, mm-hmm. you can't trust the United States government. Their word is worthless.
Yeah, and you have to look at the way that President Trump has distanced himself from the P5+1. I mean, that is completely, totally insane.
Well, it's what Israel wants.
Yeah.
Israel wants the U.S. to smash Iran up, bomb it back to the Stone Age the way we did to Iraq, so that Israel can continue to be the major political influence in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Israel doesn't want to fight its own wars. Their children are precious. Our children are disposable. We'll be right back after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Last segment of our Pauhana Friday program. And, boy, Skype is really not doing very well today. We got a lot of noise, a lot of compression artifacts. Claire, what is your next story?
I think we should have this as an ongoing Friday segment. And this should be called Rats Leaving the Sinking Democratic Ship.
Yes.
Former CIA Director Leon Panetta said that the Senate Intelligence Committee is going to have to look into the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee for funding the controversial Trump dossier during an interview on Thursday. CNN's Wolf Blitzer asked Panetta how it was possible that neither the chair of the DNC and the Clinton campaign knew about payments for the dossier. And Panetta responded, "It's obviously something that the Intelligence Committee is going to have to look at. You know, knowing presidential campaigns, they're big operations, and somehow the left hand may not know what the right hand is doing, and that could be the case here." Panetta continued, "I really do think that the committee is going to have to get into this, determine exactly what happened, and find out who knew what and when." Blitzer followed up by asking Panetta why Clinton campaign attorney Mark Elias didn't tell Clinton campaign chair John Podesta they had paid for the dossier. Elias was the...
Now, there's a problem there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a problem there because there's now an FEC complaint against the Clinton campaign because the money that was paid for this dossier was listed on campaign funding records as a completely different purpose. So somebody knew what the money really had gone for, and they were trying to conceal it. Somebody inside the campaign itself. Okay, so there's definitely a smoking gun. And we know what a control freak Hillary Clinton was. There is no way that anything that significant was happening inside her campaign that she was not aware of. Okay, absolutely. And, you know, John McCain is up to his neck in this.
Yeah.
McCain was the one who took this bogus fabricated document and gave it to the FBI to get the FBI to start the investigation into Donald Trump in Russia. It was all bogus from beginning to end.
Yep.
It's a complete fraud.
Yeah, it appears with Panetta having sort of distanced himself in the way that he was talking about Clinton and the campaign and the DNC, he's sort of pushing that way against this whole thing.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are doing that one.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he's trying to also set the stage for claiming that neither Debbie Wasserman Schultz or Hillary Clinton personally knew that this was going on. And that really is, I think, a ridiculous statement to make.
Yeah.
We're talking about a significant amount of money, $8 million.
Dollars. Yeah, that's not chump change.
Yeah, that's not something that you delegate to a subordinate, especially somebody who's going on out and conducting opposition research. So I'm not buying it that Hillary or Debbie were not perfectly aware of what was going on.
And I think that there are going to be some bombshells in the release, ultimately, of the banking transactions.
There's going to be that, plus what this FBI informant now has to say. This is not going to go away.
Nope.
And we're going to use this to rip open all the Clinton scandals all the way back to Arkansas in the mid-1980s. All right, there's our music. Time for us to get on out of here and have a relaxing, we hope, weekend.
Yeah, and so, do listen to John Stedmiller coming on next.
Yes, absolutely.
He's
got lots
some...
of fun things to share with you.
Yeah.
So we'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.